It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
All right, what's the report from outside?
I was outside for maybe 3 minutes. I counted 8 Q-tips. It's got to be one person that just throws their Q-tips out the window when they're done using them in their cars.
It's Mike Shope.
One person?
More than one person using Q-tips and throwing them outside?
I don't think I use 8 Q-tips in a year.
I think I've never used 8 Q-tips.
And the Bulldog.
What the hell is going on out there? I don't think I want to work in a place where people like roll their windows down if they're using Q-tips for Lord knows what and just throw them on the ground.
Well, you do.
What, is it the 70s?
Oh, that's not very nice.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Driving on the highway 65 miles an hour. I get a little left in my soda from the fast food drive out the window. Yeah. That was the 70s. Who gives an F about anything?
Throw a burrito out the window.
Nothing matters. 2025, what are you doing?
On WGR.
Throwing Q-tips out of your car.
Sports Radio 550.
2025. Isn't that amazing? There is a throwback reference right there. If anybody has been with us for long enough. Isn't that amazing? It's 2005. Is that the line?
Yes. Yes.
John Sterling?
I assume it's a direct quote from him. That's the line you've always used.
I've always used it.
Referencing
it. It's hilarious to me. Isn't that amazing? It's 2005. Okay, I saw a Q-tip and I texted you immediately a picture. I took a picture next
Delaware.
To my car in Delaware.
Yeah.
So we're not the home office necessarily of
right.
Q-tip.
Right.
You know, litterers. I just made up a word. Sigmund Bloom with us now on the West Her Hotline. Sigmund, here we go. Not that you know, it's not a 12-month-a-year endeavor for some of us, but for most, for normal people, no offense. Fantasy football has arrived, would you say?
Yeah, no offense taken.
Good.
And I was saying earlier today on a show that, you know, before week one, it's like the click, click, click before the first hill on the roller coaster. Right now, we're just having a conversation in line, waiting to get on the roller coaster.
Right, trying to figure, do I have a shot at the front? How long is the line in the front? Like, should I
hearing them scream somewhere? Ooh, what's that going to be that's going to make us scream?
Right on. You know, Sigmund, why not start with quarterback here in our conversation today and Josh Allen? I probably, over the years when we've talked, tried to sort of like, you know, with some nuance, well, okay, let's get into some more interesting positional value type ideas, whoever that is for the Bills. I mean, post-Diggs, they haven't really had the receiver that you needed to have. But Allen seems to be, this year in drafts, kind of on his own tier. And I read something from you recently where you were like on board, you know, like maybe this is going to be, it was maybe something that Tyler Dunn had in a podcast, you know, like just, that was it. Like this bigger year might be out there for Allen. Are you banking on that?
I would. And really, for fantasy football, this can be a bit of a conundrum because I like quarterbacks all the way down to like the 20th quarterback off the board. Like, I'd be fine going in to battle with Malik Willis and Baker Mayfield. But at the same time, fantasy football is about having more points than your opponent. And Josh Allen in the third round, especially if you have a scoring system where you get, you know, long touchdown bonuses or 300-yard bonuses or point per 20 pass yards. You have, where quarterbacks have PPR leagues, where quarterback scoring is really well ahead of the pack, I'm having trouble justifying passing on Allen because he was playing on a broken foot last year. He had no number one receiver to talk about. And listen, Matt Harmon, my buddy over at Yahoo Sports, I call him my nephew. And I love that he can say, well, Josh Allen told me I don't really care about route running. I just want them to get open. And that's DJ Moore. You know, DJ Moore had his career year with Justin Fields. What do you think he can do with Josh Allen? And then they basically made his guy, his rabbi, the head coach. So everything tells me this is basically Josh Allen's team, and we haven't seen what he can do when he has that kind of freedom and control.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you're saying. I hope they deliver it.
You know, I hope they do sort of turn more over to him, which I know sounds a little nutty because a lot of the narrative around the Bills, Sigmund, for the last 3, 4, or 5 years has been really not that long, ever since Diggs left, I guess, mostly, is that they're leaning on him too much. It's like he's got to do everything, but I feel like maybe more passing and more downfield passing is what I have in mind when I think of that. Like, feature the passing game. Like, lean into what you have here instead of, you know, I mean, I love his running. It's incredibly valuable. But, man, if they could get a few more 20 to 40-yard passes down the field, I mean, that's only going to increase his longevity, I would think.
And the clip that Mike was referring to, the Ty Dunn clip, was about how are they going to dial him back a little bit after that turnover against Denver. And he was saying no, and he cited, I think, a really important point. Sean McDermott's a defensive head coach. He's going to think of the game plan overall in a defensive-minded way. And teams really take on the personality of their head coach and their quarterback. And McDermott maybe was a little bit of a wet blanket on what Josh Allen could do if the team had his personality. And let's remember, Joe Brady coached DJ Moore in Carolina, and he was the architect of the offense that Joe Burrow basically had the best season in college football history. So he's going to let Josh Allen play, and for fantasy football, that's got to be good.
If you're drafting a lot, I guess, I mean, if you're definitely pro-Allen, like you're sounding, Sigmund, and, you know, also somebody that is willing to wait at quarterback, you got to kind of force it, I think, this year, where it's in the third round, and maybe it comes down to how much you like those other options in the third round, because they're not all awesome.
Right.
It's maybe a little bit soft.
Exactly. Like, am I really going to say, oh, Breece Hall or somebody that, you know, the reason they're in the third round is because there are questions where Josh Allen, like you said, he is in a tier of his own. Nobody denies that. Another thing I'll throw into the mix here is Dalton Kincaid actually having a legitimately healthy offseason. What does that look like? You know, I don't want to jinx him, but I think this is really exciting. James Cook used more as receiver. Carmichael. All of these things lead back to Josh Allen.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask you about Cook. Like, if you're bullish on the pat, but the passing game is a wrinkle there. We talked some about this on our show yesterday, Sigmund. But if you're bullish on Allen's numbers and it being more pass heavy, what does that do to Cook for you? Are you, like, avoiding him because you think a dip is coming after leading the league in rushing last year?
No, I would say just the opposite. If you're sitting at sixth spot, the drafts in typical PPR leagues are going something like Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, Jamar Chase, Puka Nacua, and then that's where you're thinking about Christian McCaffrey, and I'm not going to talk anyone out of Christian McCaffrey, but somewhere after that, or if you don't want McCaffrey, I know someone would say Jackson Smith and Jigba here, but I think you know, the defenses are going to try to take him away first and foremost. I James Cook's an excellent pick. You know, I'm in the pros versus Joes. Mike, are you doing pros versus Joes this year?
Yeah, next Sunday night, yes.
Well, I'm in the eighth spot, and I'm going to call my shot here and say if James Cook is there, that's probably who I'm taking.
All right.
And because first it was touchdowns. Oh, well, what if Josh Allen bogarts all the touchdowns? Mm-hmm. Well, that happened last year. Cook had a drop-off in touchdowns. Then, like you said, he was just the rushing champion. And he was originally drafted Dalvin's little brother mm-hmm. because of his receiving skills.
Right.
You know, that was kind of the headline. So, yeah, he can do it. He can be that number three running back behind the or number four, assuming McCaffrey stays healthy. And it's a good player and a good offense. Sometimes it's just that simple.
That eight spot, 8, 9, 10, that's the sweet spot for me in these drafts this year, is maybe even as far as 10. Because who are your options? You know, you mentioned a couple. And that includes Smith and Jigba, if the running backs go, which is great, I think. But you've got, you know, Jenty and, mm-hmm. you know, even Achan, and then Jefferson and Lamb. Holy cow, they're not even picked before that this year.
Right.
You're going to get two of those guys. If you're picking 10th, you're going to get two of those guys. So I think that's probably – I pick first this mm-hmm. year in pros versus Joes, which I think will probably be Bowers in tight end premium. But I think –
I endorse that.
You do? Okay, that's good to hear. But 10 – 10's pretty rich. 9-10 this year for me.
Yeah, well, and hey, I like to say every strategy works if you take the right players. but I do agree with you. You know, a guy like CeeDee Lamb was a player was taking in the top 4 or 5 until he had a couple of injury-riddled seasons. So that makes a lot of sense. And then I do think there's a drop off somewhere around 15 to 18. You know, I'm glad, honestly, that at 8, I have a better shot of getting, say, Drake London or Kenneth Walker, because somewhere around the end of the second round, I think there's a drop off where there's a plateau and the value stays similar all the way into the fourth round.
And I know this about you, or I think I do. You don't want Barkley.
No. And I mean, this is interesting because I was really using it more to endorse Javonte Williams. But look, I think there are three offenses: Baltimore, Washington, and Philadelphia. They're all putting first-time play callers, first-time offensive coordinators. I think between the three of them, there's 6 years of coaching experience. Or I mean, Declan Doyle maybe has three or four. But the point is that there's a lot of hopium. I know that Kevin Petula was terrible for the Eagles, but look, this is a team that had their legendary offensive line coach, Jeff Stoutland. He's not with the team anymore. They traded away their best wide receiver. They're switching to more outside zone running, which is not Saquon Barkley's forte. He was studying Todd Gurley to try to, you know, do a bit of a software update for the outside zone running. Tank Bigsby, honestly, is going to look better in that mode of the running game. And they're putting Jalen Hurts under center. And a lot of stuff we heard in the offseason is he didn't want to be there. I mean, who's to say this is going to work? Who's to say this is going to be any better than last year whenever Saquon Barkley, I think, was running back 17?
Yeah.
So I know he had that great year a couple of years ago, but I feel like he's swimming upstream this year again.
With Sigmund Bloom, the excellent footballguys.com, I do a lot of my research and reading of fantasy football on that site. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Back to DJ Moore then. Is he a steal at the 5-6? Are you like, you know, if you're this way about what this is all going to add up to, I think you'd probably really want him.
Yeah, I think between Cook, Allen, Moore, and Kincaid, you don't want to miss out on all four. And pairing up two or even three of them, I'm okay with that. There's other attractive wide receivers around that time. Like if you said it's DJ Moore or Mike Evans, ooh, that's tough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're super excited.
Davante Adams.
Now, Davante Adams I'm out on. Okay. I think the fact that the Rams were so eager to try to find a number three wide receiver, they were in on A.J. Brown. And I still think the Rams are a team that's very likely to trade for a receiver at the trade deadline. You know, I think this is an all-in team, and I think they've given us a lot of signals that Davante Adams was basically a goal line back for them. And I think that they know that he's not the player he once was. Terrence Ferguson becomes really interesting at the end of drafts because of that, the tight end. Could he be basically a number three receiver while they try to figure this out? Because they definitely wanted to improve their wide receiver group in the offseason.
You mentioned Kincaid. How much attention will you and everyone that's, you know, in this field be paying to how much he practices, like the injury? I know you got to do that with everyone, but Kincaid is especially like I'm hyper focused on how healthy he is. He's had two, if not three, years of just leg problems. I think it's two, and just it feels like it's one or the other. Either they are too crowded in the part of the field they want to use him, so his snaps are limited, or he's so one-dimensional, they only feel like they can put him on the field in passing situations that are absolutely passing situations, and that's it. The snap count, to me, has got to go up at some point. I just don't know if he's ever going to be healthy enough to do it. Maybe this is the year.
You're right, Bulldog. You're right to focus on that. And if we see him practicing regularly, then I know we joke about best shape of his life, but really this is the best shape of at least his NFL life. And his first five games, he came out of the gate, and snap count or not, when he's on the field, he's on the field to be a target. So it's routes run, or even the percentage of the times that he's targeted on his routes run. And I think that what he did in those first five games only increased the trust that, and you know, it also created bigger plays in the middle of the field, and DJ Moore is going to help with that also. So all of these things tell me that if he's healthy, he's going to be a top five fantasy tight end like he was while he was healthy last year. It was only when his snap counts, his injury needed to be managed. Now on the other side, if we hear he tweaks his knee in practice and he's out for a couple of weeks, we're right back where we started.
Right.
Tight end for me, I'm trying to think of some needless comparison to like being at a farmer's market or something. Like there's always something good almost always. Like in the middle, it can get a little
sure.
sketch, but Bowers, McBride, Loveland, Warren, Fannin, Pitts, like there are each round into Kincaid territory, Tucker Kraft, Laporta. As you go through the draft, it seems like there's always, and in FFPC where they host pros versus Joes, you get a point and a half per catch at that position, which ups everybody. And then you even mentioned Ferguson. I can't shut Davis Maddock up about Ferguson and Gunnar Helm mm-hmm. and these guys at the end. So mm-hmm. a little bit less so in the middle, like round 11 or thereabouts. But, you know, even Jake Ferguson is somebody that you can talk yourself into as a prize. So tight end is one where maybe this is always true, Sigmund. I would defer to you on this. Is one where uh-huh. it's really maybe just more about, like, all right, how much do you want to invest in the position versus what else is out there? How do you like to play tight end this year?
You're right to say be flexible. There's a lot of potential right answers. Same thing goes for quarterback. Same thing goes, honestly, for wide receiver. I think running back is the one position where you don't want to have to count on both of the classic zero running back strategy. I just think that you're really potentially in trouble, especially with Jonathan Brooks. He's going to be coming up the board now. And what I mean by that is not taking a running back, say, in the first five or six rounds. But otherwise, you can be patient. You can let the draft come to you and know as you pass sort of like exits on the freeway, okay, well, I just passed the George Kittle, Dalton Kincaid exit. So like you said, the next one up might be, Jake Ferguson or Mark Andrews. Whatever it is your plan is, you can be flexible. And one of the things I want to really stress while I've got your wonderful audience attention is look at that first three or four rounds of your draft, and you're getting an insight into the psychology of the people you're playing with, and then you can anticipate. You know, you can kind of put a chip down on the table of, hey, they're going light on running back. I feel like I could take a value running back right now, but they'll probably be values three or four rounds later too, because what they did in the first few rounds is going to show you how your draft might be skewed. So I think, again, that flexibility gives you the ability to adjust based on what you learn early in your fantasy football draft.
I like this farmer's market thing.
You with me? Don't buy the first green pepper.
Yeah, the fruit and vegetables don't look so great. Oh, look, there's a bakery. Oh, a brewery. Oh, a wood-fired pizza place. All right, I'm good.
and no explosive diarrhea either.
Right? I might go the other order there, but yes.
Whatever.
That point you just made also really applies to quarterback too. Like you talk about these expert tournaments. I mean, experts are so excited to push quarterback.
Yeah.
They just hate drafting one, you know? I was watching the ship chasing guys, my buddies there, have a main event draft, and they couldn't say no to Jaden Daniels. And one, maybe Jacob Sanderson, one of them said, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. It's going to be three or four rounds from now, and we're going to see all the quarterbacks. We like them all, but we already did it. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to be shut out on a guy, but I think that's one where the top players like to just sort of flex their muscle by waiting, you know. I mean, I've done this. I've got Jalen Hurts in the ninth round, Daniels in the ninth round. Like, oh, it feels strong like bull. Look at me. I've got these picks. But then, you know, you could even – you mentioned Malik Willis, Sigmund. You could even wait longer and be okay.
Right. I call it taking the tank to E, you know. Let's see who can really get it all the way down before we see a gas station. It's a summertime road trip time, right? And the point is that, like, the way you described it, how Jacob described it, that you're foregoing the opportunity to take values later. So you can do a test when you're on the clock of, am I okay with, I mean, this is what our football guy, the draft dominator football guys basically does for you. It's thinking ahead and telling you, you better pick this position because next time you're up, this position is going to dry up or this other position still has viable options. And you can say that about a quarterback through your entire draft.
Right.
Now, in certain scoring systems, 6-point pass touchdowns, you know, quarterback is more important and it is a high scoring position. But I think that especially in these big field tournaments where you're trying to have the best team out of thousands and not just 12, taking Trevor Lawrence or taking Jared Goff, who has one outdoor game between week 5 and 16, you know, I mean, you can put together a quarterback through like Frankenstein parts with Jared Goff. Maybe you just look at the games. I just gave him an article idea. Like, look at the games where you wouldn't want to play Goff. Find someone with the best schedule, say in the quarterback 15 to 25 range, and just pair those up, and you might get the same kind of production. So creativity at quarterback is something you don't have the luxury to do, say, at running backs. So stock up on running backs and wide receivers early and kick quarterback down the road. But, you know, the nature of fantasy football is if you say, no, I'm taking Josh Allen in the third round, that's also a potential right answer.
Man, Goff is living well. Last year he had like a whole season where he only played indoors almost. Somehow these division Lambeau and Soldier Field come at the bookends of his schedule. He's got that you said it, the stat where like the bulk of the season he's only playing indoors, and the one outdoor game he has in that stretch is in Miami. So you don't have to worry too much about Goff. One, we have a couple minutes here, Sigmund, if you do. One player not only is an interesting one, but even like right now with some news yesterday, is Malik Nabers, where you know there's a super high ceiling if the offense clicks, especially because of how great he was as a rookie. But most people have been drafting like they don't expect him to play right away. Yesterday, the Giants said, or it was reported anyway, that he would likely not start the season on the PUP list. Does that do anything for you?
Not really. I think that, number one, that's not confirmed. You know, he has to pass his physical.
Okay.
Number two, I'm not hearing a strong change in the tenor of will he be 100% to start the season? And what I mean by that is no one's saying he's 100% going to play week one. So I still think that based on what we were hearing, guys, as early as like March, there seemed to be murmurs coming out of the Giants like, yeah, Malik Nabers recovery, you know, that's not a sure thing. And we then had heard, you know, there was some additional issues. And when you know that, that's something that until we actually see him without restrictions on a practice field, it's hard to just dispel that. And guys, I'm not so sure about Jackson Dart and Matt Nagy and John Harbaugh. I'm not sure. Remember, on the play that Nabers got hurt, if Dart has a weakness, it's throwing downfield on the sidelines. And that play was like a ball, I think it was a ball that was errant going over the sideline, and that's when Nabers got hurt. Like, I'm not really sure even the Nabers strengths and Dart strengths line up. And I'm not sure that the Giants offense is going to look smooth out of the gate anyway. So I'm probably not taking Nabers unless I see him fall into the fourth round. Now, that's not going to happen.
When is your Pros versus Joes draft?
Sunday night.
This Sunday night.
At 8 o'clock Eastern. It's the first one. I love getting in the first one, Mike, because I want to get in before anybody has any track record of other drafts. And I think that it's a chance to – one last chance to get the draw.
Love it. Pete Overzet is in that one. FFPC, Eric Balkman, they stream all of them. Which I, being vain like I am, I have to watch. I have to have it on when I'm drafting, and then I have to watch it immediately back after I'm done. I've often done that, honestly. And Sigmund is kind of the GOAT in that tournament. Very good. Well, I loved your energy today. Always a treat to talk to you, Sigmund. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys too. And I always look forward to this. I mean, I feel like, guys, we've been talking for at least a decade. I hope we can do it for at least another decade.
I can't place the year because it's a preseason game. If it were a regular season game, I would know.
Right.
But my first time was in the booth at the Bills before a preseason game, like week one, Thursday
and
night.
I think I was on the beach. Or maybe the year after that. And guys, you've been on the air with me. I've been on the air with you when I was in a car accident when my wife was driving. You remember that?
Yes.
I mean, we've had quite the set of memories together.
I've had a time. Yes. Indeed.
I've been on the couch. Maybe we both end up on the couch together. Bulldog and I both as sort of like a round table.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's make it happen because we all could use some therapy.
10 more years. I'll sign up for sitting here when I'm 71, I suppose.
You said that. What, you're on the air.
What else am I going to do?
Okay. That just was set.
It's only so much. Like, what did Dick say? It's only so much golf you can play.
Right. There's a Friday news dump right there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sigmund. All the best.
Great pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. Pros versus Joes. I'm partnering with Davis Maddock, by the way. I don't think I mentioned that. I sort of like just took it on myself.
Mm-hmm.
But we are. And he's going to stream our draft next Sunday night on his channel. Because I don't know how to do that. I don't have a channel. I just have friends. Like boats. I don't have a boat. I have friends with boats. I don't have a channel. I have friends with channels. So, saves me from having to do like
That's a good way to go.
The lifting part.
Provided you get the invite to get on the boat every now and then.
Yeah, you got
to
get the invite.
You got to get the invite.
That's right. You got to keep up those relationships. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Lines are open. Let's go. We'll talk some more after sports. This is WG.